Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
You know, we had to get Mark, our producer, to make sure he was on today because we got the juice today.
Well, it's
unfortunate juice.
But it's what unfortunately comes with the unfortunately of the territory.
With the unfortunate truth of the unfortunate past.
Mm-hmm. Mark is like side-eyeing right now.
I'm so intrigued right now because you both have kind of smiles on your face, and maybe this isn't so serious, but then...
Oh, no, it is.
I'm making eye contact. It seems I'm getting a serious vibe.
I was hyperventilatingly bawling. A lot of L's I'm adding into this. No, I was bawling last night, and actually Mike, about 5 minutes before we started this, goes, you know, we've learned our lesson sharing things that are not healed, and you know, if we don't want to talk about it, we don't have to. And I was like, no, I'm like, it is what it is. It's just, it's unfortunate. So do you want me to start?
Go for it.
So on a few days ago, I got a DM saying that Mike cheated. And the reason why it caught me off guard was because the very first time I found out Mike cheated on me was through a DM.
Sure.
So automatically, I'm in freak out mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and I told my therapist this, I sat with her the other day, and you know, I told her, I was like, I almost have this weird PTSD where I go through my DMs almost looking to see if the truth is gonna prevail in a DM again. Like, I have this like fear when I go through my DMs. But then I also have this, well, I don't want to miss it. Like, if this is the sign, or that it shows me again that he cheated. So it's just said, Mike cheated again. I'm sorry. And I looked at the person's profile, had zero followers, zero. So it's like they just made this account. So I reach out.
Which could go either way. That could be, oh, it's just a crazy person, or this could be legit. It
exactly.
kind of shores up both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And mm-hmm. so that's where I was kind of like stuck. And I called my friend Sarah, who was there from D-Day. Like, she's the one who told me to like look into Mike mm-hmm. cheating. And I sent her this, and I was like, what do I do? Because, you know, we just got freaking our book out and New York Times bestsellers. And I'm like, is this, it's like you just said, it's either someone is trying to mess with me and pop this bubble and get in my head, or it's true. And I said, and the really sucky thing about it is that my default can't go to, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where I told Mike last night, like, that's where it like hurts the most, where I can't just go, I trust him 1,000%. He would never do that. And I think that's where it stung. And that's where I'm like, am I really going to start having this DM conversation with this girl or whoever it was? And I did. So I started DMing this person. And again, I'm just like, you know, they're telling me things that maybe could make sense, or it maybe could be wrong, you know, and I don't know, you know, she said a few things about his hometown. And I'm like, okay, well, they can just look that up on the internet. Okay. She said something about he's got a secret device, which has always been a fear of mine, that maybe he has some secret device that he talks to other people on.
Got it. Yeah.
So she's telling me all these things. I'm like, okay, well, that could be valid, or that could be, you know, and I'm like, am I talking to just some sad person and wherever that's just trying to make me upset, or is there some truth to this? And so I sat with it for a few days before bringing it to Mike. And because
the thing is too, though, this person isn't even speaking on their behalf, they're speaking on their friend's behalf. They're saying that their friend is the one that I'm cheating with or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this mm-hmm. person isn't even like saying that they're the person.
Yeah, and she's like, she, you know, she's going to be so upset with me. I just feel like you need to know. And, you know, her and Mike talk all the time, and they think they're going to be together. And, you know, they have unprotected sex. And Mike just says that you are, that he's just living in this world of
control
that you've created, and he's trying to get out, and all these things. I'm like, well, maybe that's how he truly feels. And I'm like, oh my God. And I just start to kind of unravel, but I start to just be like, well, show me the proof. Cause here's the deal at the end of the day. And I've told this to Mike, you got proof, show it to me,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't be an idiot and to not say, okay, fine. Let's see the proof. Prove me wrong. Prove the lie wrong. And, you know, she kept saying, well, she won't let me, or she'll get so mad. She's still upset with me that I'm even saying anything to you. But good luck. Just know that, like, you're not going to find the secret device.
Geez.
And I'm just like, so what do I do? And this is another thing I told them. I was like bawling last night. I was like, I searched the frickin' house.
Mm. Oh.
You know, I'm like, for like, not like the entire, but I'm like looking. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is like, she's like, I'm going crazy. And so I went to my therapy office or whatever and sat down with her to talk about it before I talked to Mike about it. And I'm like, I don't want to be looking under the bed or going in his drawers trying to find the secret device that this, who knows if it's even real.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do I deal with this? And, you know, because I'm like, we're coming off a high. And now this, but I can't ignore it. Completely, you know, because of our history. And I can't really 1000%, like, there's not enough stuff in the bank to trust his word 1000%, mm-hmm. because of the stuff with last sure. year. And that sucks. And I'm like, so I'm just kind of like stuck. And, you know, he noticed it.
Yeah, I noticed something was up with Jana the last couple of days. And I was prying the other day. More and more, you kept saying nothing's wrong. And I know you, just like you know me, like we know each other. And so finally, Jana was just kind of like, well, you know, I need to process this with my therapist, and I need to find out some more information and figure all this out. And so I had to, you know, and I respect and appreciate, and I affirmed Jana last night for doing the work around this that she's done and handling it the way she has, because she, it would have been so easy for her as soon as she got this to come MF me. And
oh, in the past, I've grabbed his phone and thrown it across the room and shattered
right,
it.
Right. So it was, you know, so I was like, all right, she's doing her work. I can't use that against her right now. I can't get frustrated because she's not talking to me. So I was like, okay, I have to do my work now and not be codependent and try to take on her feelings. So I was like, okay. And had to just walk away and sit with it. And, you know, once she finally told me last night, it crushed me, because it sucked. Like, I feel the same as her, where I'm like, it sucks that she can't default to trusting me. It sucks that I've done what I've done in the past to create that in a relationship right now. My hope is that years down the line, you know, if something like this happened again, she'd be able to bring it to me and we'd almost be able to like laugh about it, you know, because there is that much trust in the bank. But, you know, I didn't fault her at all for questioning me, for still trying to figure these things out, you know. And then when she told me she searched the house, it just like, my heart just sank, because I just felt so bad, like so bad for my wife, like to have to, that you have to feel these things, and that it's a direct correlation to the things I've done in the past, you know. And it's, it sucks, man. It's just people like this, you know. I know Jana's still kind of wrapping her head around this and trying to still gather information, even though this person deleted that account and when you tried to ask for proof.
Yeah, because Mike basically said, like, let's ask for her number. Let's call her.
Let's call this person. Figure this out.
Yeah, and they deleted their account. And I also, like, sent, like, a thing saying, like, well, I'll send the lawyers after you. This defamation and, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever we could figure out. Because, and I think the therapist said, too, she's like, unfortunately, this isn't going to be the last time this comes up. It wasn't the first and it's not going to be the last, especially because we have put our relationship out there. And here's the deal. You know, when you go on those tabloid sites, they're like, she's an idiot. He's going to cheat again. That's different than when someone says, he's cheated on you.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it again.
Or he is.
He is, yeah. Right. And it's like, that makes me kind of stop more in my tracks and to be like, if you have the proof, just give it to me. But right. don't come on my page and
stir the pot.
And that's just wrong. So whoever you are it's just wrong. And it's mean and it's calculated and it just feels so ugly. And
well, it's tragic that somebody out there just thought that would be funny.
Right.
Or thought that it'd be fun. And do you think she'll respond? Like, oh my gosh, she's responding. Like the whole mindset of that is just, you know, we've talked endlessly about social media right now and what a cesspool the comments can be and stuff. But really, it's really depressing that somebody feels like that would be a good time to try to mess with your relationship like that. Question. Why not go to Mike initially? Did you consider, before you even responded to this person, did you consider going to Mike right away?
Why I didn't, and I think why he says he hopes that we can get to that place, is because usually there is truth to something like that.
She was scared.
In the past.
She was scared of me lying.
Yeah, sure.
Which I totally understood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame her.
I had, you know, the first Instagram girl a million years ago, you know, reached out and I was like, hey, Mike. And I did. I was like, I just got a text and a DM saying that you slept with some girl. And he's like, what? No, I would never. And then I'm like, in that same breath, I was like, can you show me some proof? And she sent messages.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, then what is this? You know, so it's like, it's that. Because, you know, and then just last Christmas being like, are you on anything? You know, and he was lying. So that's the unfortunate part. And that's where we're going to have to get to. I hope that we can get to that place years down the line where I can just go to him and not believe it for a second.
Why do you believe him now? And I'm not trying to cause trouble, but because she vanished like that, because she was clearly causing problems?
It's not that
I don't think she fully believes me yet.
I have a hard time believing it, but I also don't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What my therapist helped me kind of talk about was that I brought it up. He has now told me his truth. It's now something that I can't, it's not on me to be detective or control, or it's now it's in God's hands, where if there's the truth will show eventually. And that truth may be that it was real or that it wasn't. And over time, hopefully it will be that it wasn't, and he'll continue, you know, he'll come to me with things or be on it and continue to be honest. And that way I can be more quick to trusting him. But in the season that we've been in the last 5 years, unfortunately, it's not there that quick. So do I believe it fully? No. Do I still have a percentage of doubt? A little bit. Just because I think that I'm human to have that.
Trauma from the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the first situation like this.
And I think what also kind of put a cherry on the top was the other day I was on my... And Catherine's going to hear this the first time on here. I was on my manager / best friend's phone. And I was doing an audio recording on her phone. And she had, like, not many audio recordings. And I just saw Mike Discovery Day. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, my God, we recorded when we confronted Mike. And, like, an idiot, I listened to it, you know, and just, like, reliving, like, all the, like, it was just mm-hmm. like, it was just heavy. But then hearing him be like, no. So it's just, that didn't help with the emotions.
Is there any chance, and I'm always looking at the bright side, that this is actually going to eventually be a positive step in the sense that we're going to get past this, and then the next time somebody on Instagram does this, it's not going to trigger you like the last ones did. It's going to trigger the emotions of, oh no, another person's trying to screw up our relationship. Because look, here we are giving a lot of attention to this awful person mm-hmm. on your podcast. Mm-hmm. Somebody else might try to do it. Maybe that's going to make you trust Mike more and the DMs less because we've gotten past this hurdle.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the hope.
Yeah.
That's the hope is that, I mean, for me, I will say it's, you know, it's nice to be in the, like, it's nice to actually be truthful. you know what I mean? Like, for someone yes. who's so used to lying and being caught in a lie and being that way so much of my life, especially in relationships and in our marriage, you know, as much pain as I feel and shame around the whole situation and seeing the hurt that Jana is going through and myself feeling the pain because of trauma from the past, the relief is, well, I know the truth. I know my truth. And so it is a relieving feeling, not having that like kick in the gut feeling of like, mm-hmm. oh, when's something going to come out that's going to prove this right? And, you know, mm-hmm. and so that's, for me, that's just the relief. But I understand Jana can't have that yet. And so I'm hoping, again, to reiterate, I'm hoping that this is just a building block of trust, that the truth will show itself in all its form that Jana can accept. And then we move on to the next time, because like her therapist said, like you said, Mike, this probably won't be the last time. We kind of have a target on our backs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I think it's how we, and you know, my therapist is like, get a plan in place for when this does happen next time and, you know, ask for the proof, but also, you know, how he handles it too. He's like, let's call, like, no, I don't want to say like, people don't do this because we don't want to call you. But I mean,
and we wouldn't call you with our number, so don't.
And we would probably, you know, get some lawyers involved. So it's not going to be a fun process, but right. It's just,
we're not
you
calling
know.
You up to say hi.
Yeah. So I think it's just one of those things where, you know, hopefully I'm always open to the truth mm-hmm. and to proof, but I'm not open to bullshit.
It's tough because you can't prove a negative. As hard as Mike would like to try and prove it to you, you can't prove he didn't do something. That's so difficult to mm-hmm. establish. Mm-hmm. Has there been any look at my messages, look at my DMs, or not even bothering because you think this is a second device anyway, allegedly?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, I'm saying, is he being overly forthcoming with all of his private things, Mike? To kind of try to prove the negative? Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
He said, look through my messages, look through my DMs. Like, mm-hmm. I assure you, nothing's happening.
But yeah. She said he deletes them.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, let's get the phone bill. Let's look at the, you know what I mean? Like, give us a, you know, I was telling her, give us a number.
But it's a separate account. I mean, it's so hard to prove.
And honestly, yeah. That just sounds exhausting.
It does sound exhausting.
So I just am like, okay, I will accept all things that I can control and everything else will just show its face and the truth will come out one way or the other. But that's that.
It's a bump in the road and I think that's all it's going to be.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It was hard, but
for sure. And I know I affirmed you last night, but you were so adult around all of this. And nice. I commend the hell out of you because that can't be easy. That those triggers and the trauma and all of that, like nobody would blame you from going off and shooting from the hip. And so I commend you for the work that you did. And I think, for us, the work that we did around the situation.
For sure.
And that we'll continue to do. I think we've handled it individually and together the best we can.
So not a bump, it's a win.
Yeah. So you, whoever did this.
No, thank you to whoever did that, because that just showed that I can trust my husband. So thanks.
But more so, fuck you, because you're not. We're not gonna let you. We're not gonna let you win.
No way. Ugh. Anyways.
Let's take a break and shake that one off.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you too. All
right. All right, guys, we're so excited about our guests today because we're on opposite spectrums of them, so there's going to be a lot of questions.
But, I mean, yes, but also...
Like, they live our dream. I'm just kidding, your dream.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Stay tuned. There's a whole other topic we get to talk about.
Wow, well, I'm all just right. kidding, honey. You guys?
We have the amazing divorced couple... Ben and Nikki, who are the authors of Our Happy Divorce.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
And apparently, we just found out that this is Mike's dream. So
no,
tell
not
us.
My dream. We were just talking about the other day and just hypothetical. We're like, oh, we'd hope we'd be friends. I'm sorry. I'm just speaking to myself. Hypothetically.
I don't think anybody gets like has the decision to get divorced and says, okay, how are we going to hate each other for the rest of sure. our lives and live our lives with, you know, all this toxic energy forever, right? Mm-hmm. It just, people don't deal with the emotional side of the divorce before they deal with the business side. You know, so I don't think anybody premeditates, let's not get along and let's hate each other for the rest of our lives.
For sure. So give us and our listeners a little bit of your background. Do you guys have any kids? And how long were you married and when did you get divorced?
We were married 7 years. We have one child together. Then Ben has two other children that I consider mine now, even though I don't have to have them 24 hours a day. I get to send them back. We got divorced, what, when our son was about 3.5?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and, does it have yeah. anything to do with the 7-year itch at all, you think?
No, I think
ours probably started itching about year 4 and we just kept right. going.
I think our itch started before we even got married. And I think, you know, looking back on it, we went through every red light, every stop sign, every blinking railroad track and just plowed through it. And we had been in our 20s, had been dating a couple of years and it was like time, you know, it was time to get married. And then we got married. And then we were always trying to fit that square peg in the round hole. Instead of realizing that it doesn't fit, we just kept on trying to push it, make it fit. And then we're like, okay, well, maybe we'll have a kid and that's, we'll make it fit.
Of course.
And obviously we'd never take that away because it's the best thing that happened to either of us. But, you know, it was one of those things that once we have our kid and we're always, our marriage was
except
always based
on quarantined for 2 weeks home with his mother.
There's that. not his dad, thank God. But it's the if onlys. Our marriage was always the if onlys. If only Nikki would do this. If only Ben would do this. You know, and not living in the present.
What was y'all's conflict when you were married? Like, what eventually led y'all to, you know, to going down the divorce option?
I think for us, we got being in love and loving each other mixed up. And there wasn't like, we never really had any conflict. We were just like best friends. Mm. And we were like, just sort of like two ships passing in the night where we were more like, you know, pals living together instead of like lovers.
Right. And then I think that, you know, again, the square peg thing is, but instead of realizing that we had gotten the in love and loving each other confused, we actually started to get more and more mad that square peg would fit in the round hole and more resentful. And so, you know, at the end, it wasn't, you know, let's get divorced. Let's hug it out. We love each other. Let's write a book called Our Happy Divorce. You know, we had, you know, all the drama that, you know, marriages don't end on winning streaks, right? It's not, you know, people don't say, hey, you know, we had a fight last night. Let's get married. You know, it was years of, you know, talking about it, me moving out, me moving back in. And then we made that decision. But, you know, one thing that's important in our story and in our book is we don't really talk about what happened. Because at the end of the day, the reason we can sit here and talk about and, you know, I can say how much I love my ex-wife and she's my best friend is because there's no villain in our story, right? There's no bad guy. It would make a terrible Hollywood movie. right? Because there's no, we both have accepted that we had equal parts in the ending of our marriage. It took two to make it, and it would take two to break it.
Are there any regrets at all with, you know, not trying and giving it more, maybe more therapy effort. Or more, not that you, I'm sure you guys gave it a ton of effort. I'm not saying that y'all didn't at all. I'm just saying, like, is there any, you know, sleepless nights or any regrets? Like, oh man, I wish I would have done this or tried this.
I think one of the things that, you know, divorced couples don't realize is, like, we've done, I'm going to pat us on the back. We've done a really good job of making this as easy and as, like, great as we could for our son. But, like, even, when was that trip? Like, 3 years ago that you took Asher on? That he looked at you and he said, you know, Dad, this divorce is really hard. And, you know, he was, what, 14? He was probably 14. And, you know, Ben at that point wanted to look at him and go, you know, how dare you, you little brat? Like, did you know what we've gone through to make sure that your life is so, like, the way it is now? But, I mean, that, like, that's one of those things that just kind of, like, digs at you. Because my parents are still married. They've been married for 52 years. Whether they should still be married or not, regardless, but they're still married. So I never had that. And so to hear him say, you know, for him to be able to say something like that, knowing all the work we put in and like the relationship that Ben and I have and the relationship Ben's wife and I have and the relationship Ben has with my husband, like it really kills a kid. Yeah. And I think that's one of the hardest things for me that I was like, that was the number one thing I thought, I don't ever want to do that to my kid, but.
Right. There is a lot. I mean, that is the one thing. I don't think that, I mean, I think I can honestly, wholeheartedly say that Nikki and I tried everything to try to make that square peg fit in a round hole. And I hate to keep on using that, but you know, we went to therapy, you know, Nikki, I think she would have tried more. I think that's fair to say, right? Because of the guilt and of this, she would have stayed together, I think, for Asher, which I think is all the wrong reasons. And I think as parents, you know, that's a tough decision.
And I would have probably killed you. So we're good. So this is good.
Literally. but you know, I think as parents, it's like, at least I had to come to the decision, would I rather have two parents together who are miserable? Who are two parents who are apart, who are happy? Because what does that teach, you know, our son about growing up in a loveless, affectionless marriage? You know, I don't think that's a good example as parents.
Yeah, and you know, Mike and I kind of, and I think to, like, you know, I know he joked in the beginning, but we had kind of talked about that where sometimes, like in the very beginning of our situation, I stayed because of our daughter. And it's like, eventually, it's not healthy, like you guys said, to stay just for your kid. Now, do we want the kids to be under one roof? Absolutely. Like, that's the dream white picket fence goal. But if it's not healthy for either one, and sometimes when we do joke about it, I'm like, you would probably be happy with someone else, you know, maybe. And, you know, I mean,
yeah, I'll look at his face. Like, no.
But I'm like, you wouldn't have these restrictions or these boundaries or whatever. And I, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, flipping beds, wondered about where's this hidden phone. I don't, you know. So
like, the bat phone.
Where's the bat phone?
Where's the bat phone?
But, you know, at the end of the day, we're still, you know, we there's that love that's still there. And that's how we know we keep fighting for our relationship. Yeah. But when that love goes, it you're right. It's not healthy for the kids. And at the end of the day, it's like, that would have killed me too, Nikki, if I heard that, because I'd have been like, you have no idea. Like, this has all been for you, like, right, for the benefit or for you. And it's like, oh, I can't even imagine. Like, when you said that, I'm like, that must have just stung so bad.
It stung, and my first reaction was, like Nikki said, it was like, you little SOB, you have no idea. Because I grew up in a high conflict divorce situation, and completely different. But then, you know, then I was able to sit back and not, you know, at least in my older age, I've tried to not react as much at first, but think about it and have this empathy for him that, yes, it's not his choice. It would never be his choice. Even today he says, you know, we get along so well, what's the deal? So, you know, but just the logistics of having two homes, right? The logistics of forgetting your math book at your mom's when you're, I mean, just that in itself is hard. So I was able to say, you know what, you're right. It is hard, you know? And we live seven houses down from each other. So if forgets his math book, he can just walk over and get it. But you know, so we've tried to make it as soft as the landing as possible for him, and I think we've, you know, done a pretty good job at that.
How is that relationship with? Because Ben, you're remarried.
We're both remarried.
You're both remarried. You know, because the only people I can think of are like our friends Kyle and Sarah, and then Kat, his ex. Mm-hmm. Where it's like those, we have these one friends that they're the only ones I've seen that really get along as well as I've ever seen a, you know, a split family per se get along with new wives, ex-wives, you know, old children, current children. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like you guys have been able to do that.
That kind of looks nice. And sometimes I'm like, man, that just looks nice.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I just get you as a friend. And then, yeah. It's easy just to be a friend sometimes. How did you guys explain like the work behind that? Because I'm sure you didn't just like, okay, everyone's great and friends. Yeah. So
no, it, you know, we use the term, we faked it till we made it. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, as honest as we can get it. You know, Nikki started dating Chad, her husband now. I knew Chad. He was, you know, around when we were married, and you know, that is a shot to the ego in itself. Mm-hmm. Much less having another man around my son is a shot to the ego. But you know, this is one thing that I always remember. I was coaching Asher's baseball, and Nikki and Chad. It was the first time that I really had seen him around. I knew they were dating, but. You know, after the game, Asher ran over and gave Nikki and Chad a hug. And I remember like walking over there going, okay, what's best for Asher? What's best for Asher? What's best for Asher? Meanwhile, you know, I mean, guys, like egos, just much less I know this guy. Now my son's running over to him, meeting him. And it's like, and then I just put on my big boy pants, you know, and I put on a fake smile. It probably was the most awkward smile in the history of the world. But I went over, the first thing I did was give Chad a hug. And I gave Nikki a kiss, and I just made it as normal as possible for Asher, you know? And then, you know, the next time it was a little easier. The next time it's a little, but look, it's still not easy today. This is 14 years later. I love Chad, you know, and, you know, they went down fishing in the Keys early in summer, and Asher came, he goes, oh, Chad and I are going fishing. My first reaction still is like, ooh, you know, it's like a little gut punch. You know, 14 years later, we wrote a freaking book called Our Happy Divorce, but it's still not natural.
Which, by the way, you can get at ourhappydivorce.com. There's support, you can resources, blogs, and where you could also buy the book, ourhappydivorce.com.
The hardest part for me was like listening to my son tell me that like some other woman was putting him to bed at night. And like, you know, that was like, you know, to a mother's heart, it's just like, it's like someone's stabbing you. But a funny Asher story was when before I had met Nadia, Ben's current wife, Asher, I would call him every night to say goodnight to him when he wasn't with me. And I called over there one night and I was like, you know, I just want to, you know, saying goodnight to you. And he said, hey, mom. I said, what? And he's probably about 4 and a half at this point. And he said, mom, do you know Nadia? And I said, no, I know who she is, but I, you know, mommy hasn't met Nadia yet. And he goes, well, here, I think you should talk to her. And he puts her on the phone. I was like, oh my God. But you know, that was his way of saying, you know what? There's this girl that I'm hanging out with that daddy's hanging out with, but I think you should know this girl too. And he was like smart enough to kind of go, okay, let me just break the ice here and let mommy real, like, you know, let them talk.
Wow.
Yeah, so he forced the introduction.
Yes. Smart kid.
What are some of the tools in the book that if our listeners are divorced, what can they learn from it?
Well, I think the one thing is, and it's important to say, we're not doctors, we're not lawyers, we're not therapists, we're just people with the lived experience, you know, and my lived experience was a pretty high, like I said, a high conflict divorce. And just to show you how big of a deal and what big emotions this was. When I left the house, I left angry. I left bitter. I left pointing the finger at Nikki. It was all her fault. And I went out and I hired this big fancy lawyer and was going to go down the same path as my parents, despite having that experience, you know, despite having that, you know, being in that toxic environment and getting handed a bill, emotional bill to pay. For something I had no choice in, but yet I was going to do that to my son again. But luckily, calmer heads prevailed eventually, and I was able to, you realized that I knew where that path ended and wanted to find a different path. But I think the different path that we found was, and this is going to sound apathetic and it's going to sound apathetic on purpose, but divorce is just a business deal, right? You're just splitting assets. You're making, you know, a financial thing. The problem is that it gets mixed with every negative emotion you could possibly have. And, you know, the only advice that I would give people that we did right, is that we dealt with the emotional side first. We dealt with our stuff first, individually, our side of the street. And we both agreed, and that's why there's no villain, because we both have equal parts in the ending of the marriage, just like we have equal parts. And that's why when we wrote this book, I said, the only way I'm writing it was if Nikki does it with me, because it takes two to make a relationship and it takes two to ruin a relationship. So if any piece of advice that I can give people is, there's no prize for getting divorced quick. The quickest.
You need to take care of your stuff before you can take care of each other's.
For sure.
Definitely.
I have a question for both of you. Sorry, Ben, real quick. Nikki, I'll start with you, because I'm interested, because you guys have a similar dynamic where, like, Ben, you said you come from a divorce parents. Jana comes from divorced parents. Nikki, my parents are like yours. My parents have been married 30 plus years. Did you guys individually, was that an added pressure? Was it like, Ben, were you more normalized to it? So you're like, yeah, I'll just get divorced. Nikki, did you feel more pressured because of your parents being married so long? I'm just curious about how that impacted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I have three sisters, two, like, and they're both married. And I think that I, honest to God, I'm the first person in my family to get divorced. Hmm. And, like, even, like, extended family. I don't think any of, there's anybody. So, and I'm the baby of the family. So for me to, like, have to go to my parents, who, you know, are semi-religious and, like, you know, believe in the sanctity of marriage and all that stuff. But, like, for me to have to go to them and say, hey, by the way, that, I think that was almost scarier than getting divorced himself. I was scared of death.
It's funny because it says, you said it was easier for me. And it was actually, you know, it's like I grew up around alcohol and drug use as a kid. And I was like, and then turned into an alcoholic and addict, and luckily got over that or got sober pretty young. But it's not something like I sought out to do, right? I mean, it wasn't like, even though, you know, and I've told Nikki this, it's in the book, you know, on our wedding day, I was looking at the mirror. I had hair at the time. I was doing my hair, and I, you know, it wasn't just cold feet. It was an honest look into my soul saying, you shouldn't do this. This isn't the right thing to do. But yet I went through, and, you know, we talked about those red flashing lights and the, you know, railroad tracks. And but it wasn't, even with that, it wasn't something that I ever intended to get divorced, you know, or ever thought that I would. But, you know.
How was the writing process? Because if you weren't divorced then, do you think you would have? Because I know with Michael and I, we were, because we just, you know, we wrote a book, and it's, our writing styles are just very different. So it was, you know, maybe it was easier, you guys being divorced, so you didn't have to write together. Nope, Nikki's shaking her head.
No, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I told Ben, I'm going to stick this book up your butt, like a million times, so many times. And I'm like, so many times I would call him and go, I'm not doing your stupid book.
But that's because we're in a fight, not because anything I told you.
But two, I mean, you have to rehash a lot of stuff when you're trying to, like, dig for emotion.
Right.
But I, yeah, the idea was, and it's not original. I don't know if you guys ever saw the series, The Affair.
Yes.
And how they took one situation and, you know, each half an hour of the show was, you know, one person's perspective. And so that's the sort of framework we took. So we alternated chapters. And I read her chapters, but I never changed it. You know, it was her story. It was her experience. She never changed mine, no matter what I said, no matter what I did. Right. And we just sort of meshed it together. But then to show you how this sort of relationship with Chad and Nadia, our spouses, had evolved, this was just going to be Nikki and my book. And then, you know, because it took so long and Nikki, you know, I had to go fishing for the book up my butt so many times that the relationship had evolved so much that we were like, wait a sec, this happy divorce has to include Nadia and Chad. So we had them write chapters in the book.
Wow.
And then our son had written an essay to get his high school acceptance, or the essay was about somebody he admired. And he wrote about his mom and dad, about what they've accomplished.
Oh, I just got chills.
And we didn't, you know, handcuff him and, you know, sit the bed and make him write it. He actually did it out of his own volition. So that essay and a chapter is in the end of the book.
Wow.
And sort of puts a bow on the whole thing. So.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What have you guys, since you're both remarried, what have you guys taken into your new marriages that you learned from being together?
Oh, I married the right person the second.
No question. Like you asked if it was the right decision. Like I look at Nikki and Chad, and Nikki never looked at me like she looks at Chad.
Aww.
She never held. I mean, but the same thing's probably true with Nadia and I. I mean, it just was like Nikki and Chad are meant to be together. Nadia and I are meant together. And now I can see it without any anger, without any resentment, but nothing but love, you know? I mean, nothing but love for her and for Chad because, you know, all I got to do is, you know, be honest with myself and swallow my ego and say, look, she never looked at me like that.
Problem now.
Oh, right, I love that.
Well, we respect the hell out of you guys because dealing with such a topic that 50% of marriages deal with. I mean, I hope everyone goes to ourhappydivorce.com and does their research on how to be an adult through this process. Because
and to get their book.
Yeah, this is amazing. So thank you guys, Ben and Nikki, so much for being on the show with us.
It's
truly
thank you
enlightening.
So
don't forget to get their book, Our Happy Divorce. And you can get that at ourhappydivorce.com.
Awesome.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, Mark, got any emails, babe?
We do indeed. This is an anonymous emailer. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 4 years. I'm 28. He's almost 34. After 3 years of dating, I expressed I would like to get engaged. He was very adamant he wanted to live together first. So last December, we moved in together. We decided to re-sign the lease in June. And I said, how about a six-month lease? Is that enough time to decide if this is going to work? Because I don't want to re-sign if, you know, not engaged. June came and went. We're still not engaged. I expressed how this made me feel and said maybe we need to go our separate ways. He said, no. We'll be engaged by the end of summer. No ring shopping, no nothing. End of August, not engaged. I've started to resent him. It's really taking a toll on our relationship. It's now mid-September as I write this, and I once again brought up the fact that maybe we aren't meant to be. He says, no. We'll be engaged by your birthday. My birthday's in October. How am I supposed to believe him? We haven't done any shopping, no discussing. I'm really struggling if this is meant to be. Or if he's just playing with my feelings and calling my bluff because I've given in the past two times by staying together. I'm really struggling. I'm thinking of ending things. I'd love to know all of your thoughts.
This reminds me of Sarah. Wait, how old is she again?
28.
It kind of reminds me of the Sarah Gwetzky situation. My fear, though, is that he's just trying to find the right time, and then you don't want to blow it either. I mean, it's quarantine. It's kind of been hard to go ring shopping. It's kind of hard to do things. It's kind of hard to plan something amazing for you.
Excuses.
I mean, maybe, but I see it more. I almost see it more as give it another 6 months and just let it. I know I'm saying this like I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world, but you don't want to blow something. You don't want to blow a surprise. Like you don't want to. Like, just enjoy. You're 28. Give it six more months. That's my... And then be like, hey, look, like, I'm getting frustrated and I need some time to think.
She's going to be 29 this month.
She's fine. I was 30 and single. She's fine. She can wait six more months. That's just my advice. Don't blow it. Don't... Because if he's the one... But then again, if you're so easy to leave, maybe then he's not the right one.
I don't think she's easy to leave. Otherwise, she would have left. I think she's just trying to force his hand, and he's calling her bluff. So she just has to be prepared. She, anonymous, you have to come to terms with your timeline, whether it's by the end of this year, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, whatever it is, and that you can realistically see yourself leaving if it doesn't happen by then. And so maybe give him till another 6 months. Say, look, no, I've said this a lot. I am leaving because I got to move on with my life. I'm 20. I'll be 29. He's 34.
Mm.
Like they've been together for 4 years.
Sarah and Ty were together for like 7 years.
Right. They also started dating at like 22.
7 years.
Look.
And but I will say what Sarah did is she basically was like, I'm not going on the hockey. So right. You have to start saying like, I'm not doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. She just has to figure out what that time is and go from there.
Mark.
I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt because as a guy, I would have hated going ring shopping together. I would have hated planning it. I would have hated talking about it because my whole thing was I want to surprise you in a great situation. I really want to put my own effort into it and blow your mind. And so you'll cry. Like I really had it all planned out and that's how I wanted to do it. So I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't like that he keeps giving specific dates and then not living up to them. That kind of sucks. But the last thing you want is for him to propose because you're packing your suitcase. Mm-hmm. You don't want him to be like, oh, okay, fine, will you marry me? That's the last thing you want. So I want you to evaluate this relationship for what it is. Mm-hmm. Are you happy? Are you having fun? Do you love being together? Is it magic? Is it sparkle? Do you tingle when he's around? Like, think of it in that sense. Because if you are, then stick around and what will be, will be. But if you're not feeling it, and from this email, I think you might not be feeling it, maybe it's time to move on regardless.
I love Mark's advice. I'm just going to call him every time something comes to my DMs. Mark, Daddy.
He's going to be like, wait, let me push record. Okay, go ahead, Jana. Don't waste the goods.
Okay, what's next?
Christina, my husband recently admitted to me that he's had a sexual attraction to another woman that we know for the past 6 years. Mm. He told me he's never acted upon it, and I do believe him. He's been brutally honest with me and very communicative. He told me he loves me so much that he feels satisfied with our relationship but still has an attraction to this person. We plan on entering therapy together, but I guess I feel like I don't know how to move forward from here. If it's been this long, 6 years, it's clearly not going to go away. So how can I ever feel confident? How can I ever stop wondering if he's thinking about her when we're intimate together? I appreciate any advice from both of you on how you battle those insecurities and feeling like you're enough for your spouse.
That's tough.
Tough.
I don't like, that might just be too honest for me. Is there such a thing? I think there is. I don't want to know. It's a little too honest for me. Like if I told you, I'm like, I'm really attracted to my whatever.
It's someone you both know for a long time.
Yeah. Like that's like that. I just don't think that. But then again, that's being honest. But then that's kind of too honest. How can I be such a hypocrite with saying it's too honest? I feel like that's so hypocritical.
I don't think it's hypocritical. It's like it's kind of like, do I look fat in this dress? You know what I mean?
But also maybe it's his way of saying I need to say something or I might be tempted to cheat.
Or is it his way of fishing to see if she'll have a threesome?
Oh, of course that's where you go.
No, I'm just saying it started coming to me. I'm like, of course. If he's that brutally honest, does he have some other agenda?
I mean, maybe.
We can't rule that out because, as we've said before, guys are the worst.
We're the worst.
It's a possibility.
We are the worst.
I mean,
I would have to know more about both of them. I would need to know more of their history. I'd need to know his history. I'd need to talk to the guy, and then I could figure it out.
You know, I've known like a guy that's just like very honest and says like, "Oh, this girl's hot" in front of his wife, but. It still just feels a little too much. But if it's fine with your partner, but obviously it's not fine for her. That's uncomfortable.
Well, saying someone, because, okay, you and I have had this discussion, over the years, and you understand that there's beautiful people exist in this world, right? Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging someone like, oh, if you say, oh yeah, she's pretty, like we're watching a show or whatever, it's like, yeah, she's a pretty girl, whatever, but saying that there's sexual attraction,
yeah, that's basically saying I want to fuck them
is very different. And how would you feel comfortable, like,
and I don't even say that someone's attractive, like that one time when that guy came with the lost dog. Like,
I got caught in that, but
when Jana really thinks someone's attractive, she can't speak. This was a handsome guy.
I mean, if you want to say it, that's fine.
I mean, I caught you and who was it?
Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah's just swooning over this guy.
Not swooning. He was looking for a lost dog and we were just helping him.
Yeah, swooning.
But that's all normal. That happens. There are attractive people in the world, like Mike said. But for him to come to her and say, look, I got to tell you this.
I'm sexually attracted to our friend for the past 6 years.
But maybe he's doing that so he doesn't cheat. And I know where that's where a woman's brain goes. And then the man brain goes, he wants a threesome.
I don't see the logic there. Why tell her that to stop him from cheating? I don't get that. Like, is he warning her? Is he saying, if I say this to you, you'll keep a better eye on me?
Right. I don't think any guy would volunteer.
No.
Actually, yes, I do think that. Because kind of in the same situation where it's like, I almost want you to be jealous because I don't know. You know?
Hmm.
Maybe not?
It doesn't ring true for me from a guy's standpoint.
No. Okay.
Now, well, my feeling is he's clearly a world champion of honesty. So if we're believing him about this woman, I think we have to believe him about his feelings for you and his feelings for your relationship. And I think we have no choice but to trust him now, right? Because he's clearly the most honest person in the world. As far as what he's thinking when you guys are together, I don't know. I mean, that might be something you can work out in therapy, because clearly he has damaged the trust a little bit just by telling you this.
Yes, but I mean, but she says, you know, she asks, how can I ever feel confident? How can I ever stop wondering if he's thinking about her when we're intimate together? The confidence is just, well, if he told me that he's thinking about it, like you said, he's the king of honesty. He'll tell you, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You don't have to wonder because he's going to tell you clearly.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, now the thing about wondering if he's thinking of her while they're intimate together, that I think that's just something that you just got to remind yourself to be in the present and not let your head go there.
Who knows what any of us are thinking in those moments?
Right. It's
Mike's probably thinking about Marvel movies. I'm probably Captain America. What's the girl's name? I mean, Captain
Marvel.
I'm Captain Marvel girl, probably, to him. Great.
And similarly, Jana's probably thinking about, oh my gosh, oh, is there still clothes in the dryer? Oh, and I gotta go. Oh shoot, Jolene, these new shoes. Like, these are the things that
she's
goes
like,
in your head,
Mike,
right?
It's hurry up, stuff. I got to do.
And when have I ever tried to rush sex? All right. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen,
that's a wrap.
Love you guys. See you next week.
Later.